This is episode 656 of the AWS podcast, released on March 4th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the official AWS podcast. My name is Shruti Koparkar, and I will be your host for today's episode on all things Zero ETL. If you had a chance to catch some of the sessions at AWS reInvent last year or listen to some of the session recordings, you likely heard this term a lot. Today, we are going to chat with a group of experts who are going to talk to us about what Zero ETL is, what challenges it helps solve, and how customers can get started with it. Joining me are Amandeep, Rugved, and Ree. Welcome, experts. And can each of you introduce yourself and your role at AWS?
Definitely, Shruti. Maybe I can go first. So first of all, good morning, Shruti, and thanks for having us on the podcast. And good morning, good afternoon, good evening to all our audience, wherever they are based. My name is Amandeep Bajwa. I'm a Principal Solutions Architect with AWS based out of Toronto, Canada. I have been with AWS for 3.5 years now, and I support financial services customers in the enterprise space. And one of my focus areas at Amazon is data and analytics. I look forward to having a wonderful conversation with you, Shruti, and excited to be here.
I'm Rugved, or as I'm called, RV at AWS. I'm a senior solutions architect here at AWS. I've been working on the platform for 7 to 8 years, approximately. I am based out of Toronto, Ontario, so I'm also in Canada. And I'm happy to be here. Thank you so much for having us, Shruti.
Also, really happy to be here. My name's Ryan Leibowitz. Everyone just calls me Rai, a senior solution architect based in Vancouver. I spend my time supporting SMB customers in Western Canada, and I have a background in analytics.
Awesome. Welcome, Rai. And sorry about that. I think I referenced you as Ree in the beginning, but you know, hopefully I will not make that mistake through this conversation. So welcome all of you. Now, you know, maybe let's start with Amandeep. You know, we've heard this term Zero ETL a lot during the last reInvent in 2023, and we announced several key Zero ETL integrations to make data access and analysis faster. But before we get into the details, can you talk to our audience a little bit about what exactly is Zero ETL?
Absolutely, Shruti. And again, in simplest terms, Zero ETL is an approach for accessing data without building or managing complex data and ETL pipelines. By the way, ETL stands for extract, transform, and load. And it's a process to extract data, transform it, combine it, and load it into a target system, usually a data warehouse, to be consumed by the end users. And let me expand on Zero ETL a bit. So historically, accessing data and deriving insights from the data silos has been an extremely challenging task for organizations. Organizations spend a lot of time and effort in building complex data pipelines to enable business and end users to consume data. So Zero ETL approach helps solve and overcome this challenge. So in other words, Zero ETL is a low or no code approach to accessing data. And there's nothing for you to build, there's no code for you to write, no infrastructure to support, and it's all fully managed. And Zero ETL enables unified and near real-time analytics for our customers. And based on our customer feedback so far, Zero ETL is the direction we are moving towards.
Awesome. So my next question is to Rugved. Why did we decide to build Zero ETL? What are the customer problems that we are working backwards from? And what are the advantages to customers of using this approach?
That's a great question, Shruti. So as Amandeep just mentioned, building and supporting actual end-to-end data pipeline and ETL pipeline, it's a very time-consuming and effort-intensive process. So when we talk to our customers about how their data strategy is or what's their outlook looking like, what we heard back from our customers is they don't want to be in a business of supporting their legacy ETL infrastructure and in turn spend time and effort in trying to support those pipelines. What our customers really want is they want to focus on adding value to their end customers instead of focusing on undifferentiated heavy lifting. So is there a way we can make AWS's customers' life a little bit simpler? That's why we focused on Zero ETL approach, which facilitates data integration without the need to create that complex, intensive ETL and data pipelines. Now, there are quite a few benefits to it, and I'm just going to name them as I think they are important. Number one being no cost for zero ETL, unlike the other ETA tools where there's a development cost involved. There might be some additional licensing overhead cost involved. Then you're talking about headcounts and skill sets who are managing these things outside the technological landscape. The second point being there's no development effort required because, like we mentioned before, plug and play is not the right term, but essentially that's what I would refer it to. And given that there's no development effort required, it increases the business's agility to respond to the changing market at the right time, and it allows them to deliver results quickly. As mentioned earlier, at the end of the day, it simplifies the ecosystem as the customers don't need to rely on multiple third-party ETL tools gathering data and making their lives overly complicated.
Great. You know, that sounds awesome. Customers can quickly and easily derive value from their data without having to do any undifferentiated heavy lifting. That's really great. Now, does Zero ETL provide customers additional capabilities which they normally wouldn't have been able to access with their legacy ETL approach? Right? Maybe you can take that one.
No, sure. Happy to answer. So I think the two biggest capabilities that customers will gain will be the ability to derive insights faster and to have improved data sharing. So the easiest way of thinking about this is how it's currently done in a legacy environment. So let's say you had an organization, you have multiple lines of businesses, multiple different data sources, and you wanted to get that into a data warehouse. Now, what we see with most customers at this stage is they'll run batch jobs. Those jobs might be run daily, monthly, weekly, it all depends. But the problem with those jobs are, one, they're custom built, you know, they're based on the environment. And two, even if you run them daily, that data is still old at the end of the day. It's not fresh. Now, compare that to zero ETL. You can get near real-time analytics. So you could take your data source and you could replicate it across, having access to the data. And alternatively, you could actually just query the data in place. So the data is always fresh and your analytics are near real-time. The other big benefit is around data sharing. So imagine the scenario where you have a whole lot of lines of business that want to collaborate together. So maybe they want to run a campaign or cross-sell. There's various different scenarios. Now, the more data those organizations and lines of business have, the harder it gets. Now, imagine you had maybe three lines of business and each of them had petabytes and petabytes of data and they wanted to collaborate. It's really barely even feasible to move that quantity of data around. And how do you even keep the data fresh? And then you're also perpetuating copies at the exact same time. Now, compare this with zero ETL. You can take your data, store it either in Redshift or even a data lake, depending on your preference, and everyone has access to the data immediately. You don't need to move it. You don't need to make copies. Everyone has access to the data. It's fresh, up to date, and sharing becomes infinitely easier.
That's awesome. It's really great. It's almost like, why didn't we think of this earlier? Which actually brings me to my next question. Is zero ETL a new concept? And if not, like, what has this evolution looked like?
Well, Shruti, it's not really a new concept. So zero ETL is not something which we came up with out of the blue recently. We have been working on this approach for a while now. And as you know, at Amazon, we like to work backwards from our customers. In fact, when you look at any of our products and services, 90% of our roadmap is driven by customers. And zero ETL is no different. So back in 2017, we launched Redshift Spectrum, which enables you to query data stored in Amazon S3 from your data warehouse. Our customers loved it and asked if we can expand on the capability, as they did not want to be in the business of building and supporting data pipelines, as RB mentioned earlier. So we added federated querying, which is in-place querying, where you can query data across multiple data sources without moving the data. And over time, we added more zero ETL capabilities, such as data sharing, which Raj just recently mentioned. We added automated streaming ingestion and automated operational analytics in data warehouse. And based on the customer feedback so far, we are moving towards a zero ETL future and will continue to evolve.
That's awesome, Amandeep. So sounds like, you know, this is a concept that we've been working on for a while and now building on that even further. Rugved, can you maybe elaborate on some of these zero ETL offerings from Amazon?
Sure. But before I answer that, I just want to acknowledge the fact that each customer is different and the way they would use their data will differ from the industry that they operate in, the kind of data that they find value in, and their expectations from their data So maybe a customer is headed in a different strategic direction than their competitors. They will want to use their data in a different way. Now, keeping this in mind, AWS does offer multiple zero ETL solution approaches, depending on what the customer use case is. So if the customer is looking for a federated or in-place query, organizations can use federated queries using Amazon Athena. Now, for those of you who are new to AWS, Amazon Athena is a serverless interactive analytics service that provides a simplified and flexible way to analyze petabytes and petabytes of data. Or maybe the customer can leverage Amazon Redshift, which is our data warehousing solution. For data sharing, our customers can use Redshift or Data Lake data sharing. We've also introduced Amazon DynamoDB Zero ETL integrations with Amazon OpenSearch to enable full text and vector searches on transactional data in real time. Because as we are moving ahead and the technology is evolving, real-time data does provide a lot of value. I know we spoke a lot about technical services or technical AWS services, and it can be a lot of technical jargon when you're listening to a podcast. But I would advise the customers or the listeners of the podcast to reach out to the account teams, and they'll do the right part internally to get you the analytics subject matter experts.
That's really helpful to at least know the different plethora of zero ETL solutions that are available. Now, as you mentioned, you know, sometimes it can be a bit confusing in terms of like where and how to get started. What solution is the right one for their use case, and what are some of the considerations? So, Rai, do you have any insights to offer on how customers should think about which of these solutions are the right ones for their use case?
No, sure. And I definitely want to kick off by saying that I highly recommend reaching out to your account team first, as Avi mentioned. Something that we have noticed is AWS has a lot of services. We meet a lot of use cases, and customers sometimes struggle to know which service is the right service or which approach to take. So always reach out to your account team. We're always happy to help. I'd say after you've reached out to your account team, it would be great to meet with your account team and go through your business requirements. The key to getting this right is always to make sure you're working backwards from a business goal that will add value to the organization. So once you've identified that goal and you know what you're trying to achieve, I would recommend building a POC. When it comes to the POC, keep it simple. Don't try boil the ocean. Just try show value and gain familiarity with the tooling. Once the POC is complete and you're happy with the outcome, I would personally move over to an MVP, so minimal viable product, where that should include possibly additional lines of business, maybe one or two, and show value there and prove that you can succeed. And once you've done that, then I'd scale that across the organization. Touching back on what something we mentioned before is don't be afraid to reach out to your AWS account team. We're there to help. The earlier, the better. Effectively, we can bring lots of resources to bear. We can show you the art of the possible, what other customers have done. We can help you with solutioning, giving you a technical overview of the various services, or even help with implementing a POC. So we have various mechanisms to assist. So never be afraid to reach out to us. We're always happy to help.
That's great. I mean, it's really helpful, I'm sure, for our customers to have all these resources and to have such great account teams. So with all your help, does that mean that zero ETL approach is just going to take over the world and eliminate the traditional ETL, which has been sort of the staple for so long? Or do both have a place in the world going forward? Amandeep, what are your thoughts?
At AWS, we are a big believer in using the right tool for the right solution. Depending on the scenario, depending on the requirements, zero ETL may be the right solution to address your requirements. But at the same time, zero ETL is not the silver bullet to solve every data integration challenge that you may have. There'll be some cases, some use cases, scenarios where you will need traditional ETL capabilities, and there'll be a need to transform your data. To address those requirements and support those ETL use cases, AWS provides additional services such as AWS Glue or Amazon EMR. So I would say both zero ETL and ETL approaches have their place, and they're complementary, not mutually exclusive. In fact, I have worked with customers and quite often I've seen customers use both the approaches and within their environment.
That's great. Now, you know, actually speaking of customers, what kind of use cases lend themselves really well to zero ETL? And can we talk about some customer examples of how customers have used some of these zero ETL solutions? Rugved, I know you have some thoughts to share on this.
So when we talk about zero ETL or the use cases or the potential use cases, there are quite a few, but the one that stands out to me particularly is near real-time operational analytics. The customers can leverage Amazon Redshift Analytics and the ML capabilities to derive insights in near real-time from the transactional and other kind of data that they have. Now, when they do that, they can actually use this data to effectively respond to critical time-sensitive events. Maybe there's a flight cancellation, for example, and a particular airline needs to send out notifications. Now, I'm not saying this is the use case, but this can be one of the use cases that the customers can leverage zero ETL for. When we talk about customers, one of the customers, Intuit, it's a global financial tech platform. Intuit is looking at a staggering rate of more than, I believe, 10 million profile migrations per day. And they leaned on leveraging Amazon Aurora MySQL zero ETL integration and Amazon Redshift to streamline their data ingestion process and completely, like I mentioned before, eliminate the need for complex engineering work that may have gone into should they hadn't taken this approach.
Yeah, 10 million profile migrations per day is a lot. And to be able to do it without having to do the sort of heavy lifting is a lot of productivity gains that can then be put into like driving innovation and more capabilities for their customers versus just undifferentiated heavy lifting. That's excellent. Now, let's say I wanted to get started with zero ETL today. What does that look like? Is it easy? Like, how long will it take me? Tell me the steps involved. Ryan, maybe you take this one.
Yeah, so it's actually incredibly easy. All you would need to do would be to log into Consul and navigate to the RDS section. And from there, you'd be able to set it up. So the scenario I like to use is, imagine you have an organizational that has an operational data store in Aurora and a data warehouse in Redshift. And they wanted to get the data into Redshift as quickly as possible. So all you would need to do is, in the console, you would select Aurora as your data source. You would select Redshift as your data target. And once replication begins, your data will be available in seconds. And the best part about this is it's literally all just config. Go into the console, set it up, and your data is available. For customers who want data federation, also incredibly easy. All you would do is inside Redshift, run a SQL command on the data source, and the data would be available. And the best part about this is it's all done on existing tooling. You don't need separate tooling. It's all the tools you already have. This accelerates sharing and enables data democratization for everyone in the organization.
Excellent. So that's really good to know that it is so easy to get started. Now, you know, one of the use cases that I can see a really good potential application for is, and in fact, Rugved talked about it, is machine learning. And we've heard so much about generative AI and machine learning over the last year. Data is really at the very foundation of any sort of machine learning or deep learning. So how does zero ETL help out with that, help out with generative AI and machine learning? Amandeep, any thoughts there?
No, it's great that you mentioned generative AI and machine learning, Shruti. It has been the talk of the town recently. Literally every organization and customer I've talked to is either asking about it or they are looking at ways to implement it. But I think the key point is that generative AI and machine learning applications are dependent on data, and they require a comprehensive data strategy to be successful. At the end of the day, your generative AI, machine learning models, or LLMs, or large language models, they require data. And this is where zero ETL shines and can help accelerate generative AI and machine learning adoption. Instead of spending weeks and months in building data pipelines to make the data available for generative AI and machine learning workloads, zero ETL can make the data available near real time for organizations. So it enables organizations to innovate and experiment with generative AI at a much faster pace and makes it easier for organizations to become data-driven.
That's excellent. Now, you know, no conversation about data will be complete without me asking you this question. How secure is this? Security is something that everyone is worried about. Most enterprises are worried about. And I'm sure audience will want to know the security implications of these zero ETL solutions and integrations. Rugved, what can you tell us about that?
First of all, thank you for noticing that. I was actually waiting when you're going to ask us about the security aspect of data. At Amazon, we take security quite seriously. I'll be honest, it's job zero for us. Now, securing a zero ETL approach without knowing what the customer is actually trying to do end to end, there's some basic steps that the customer can take. Now, let's begin with data in transit and data at rest, right? Let's start approaching these two concepts differently. When your data is in transit, we would recommend that always have encryption enabled, so TLS, whichever the latest version is. Also, encrypt your data at rest. We also encourage the customers to have monitoring in place so they can leverage CloudWatch for logging and tracking the metrics, CloudTrail for auditing purposes. So for example, if for the sake of this discussion, Amandeep went and accessed this data at a particular time, you can leverage CloudTrail to understand, okay, who was it and what was accessed, the API calls. And another thing that we would recommend do is use AWS Identity and Access Management, or IAM, for authentication. Leverage IAM policies to grant access to this data rather than having each individual go and access this particular set of data. Those are some of the basic ways that the customers can start securing the data in AWS and their security approach. But as the requirements grow, as the project changes, these requirements will keep on evolving. So we will work with the customers depending on their unique use cases and how we can get the customer across.
Excellent. Thank you all for being here to talk about Zero ETL. Any final words before we wrap up, Amandeep?
Shruti, it was a pleasure talking with you about Amazon's Zero ETL approach. I really enjoyed it. And I would highly encourage the audience to try out Zero ETL integration approaches and see if it meets the requirements. Our recommendation, which is again, it's aligned with the best practices, is to try out a POC, as Raya mentioned earlier, before implementing a solution in production. And again, this is true for any solution, not just for Zero ETL. You try out something new, you try a POC before you implement it in production. And if you need any help, feel free to reach out to us or your AWS team, which again, Raya and RV mentioned earlier. And we would be more than happy to connect with you. And as again, as a call to action, I would say that we'll share some links with you regarding Zero ETL. So you can actually learn more about Zero ETL approaches. It will tell you how to get started and it will provide more information about Zero ETL than we could actually share in this podcast. But again, it was a pleasure and I enjoyed actually talking to our audience regarding a Zero ETL approach.
Excellent. Well, thank you again to all three of you for joining and thanks to the audience for tuning in. As Amandeep mentioned, we will have some getting started links in the show notes. So please check those out to learn more about Zero ETL. And once you figure out sort of your use case and your business goals, reach out to our account teams, to your account teams, so that they can help you get started with this. And until next time, keep on building.